Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Wednesday, rolling, baby. A lot of stuff to talk about. Live in L.A., it's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. It's sub day here on the show. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing great. What a wild, wild NBA postseason this has been.
Well, you know, everybody's talking about injuries. I was driving in this morning, and everybody, every show, all these injuries are ruining everything. So I want to start with that. Is that where you are at 40, 45 years old, you've earned it. 20s, blame your parents. Teens, blame your parents. 30s, blame your boss. 33, blame the government. We like to do that. But by 40, 45 years old, you're where you should be. You've had too many opportunities, too many choices. I was watching something not long ago. Don Lemon was interviewing the great Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman grew up in a very, very small town, a very poor town. And Don Lemon said, "You're a great story, but not everybody can do what you can do, Morgan." And Morgan Freeman said, "Bull blank. Takes courage. The bus leaves town every day. Get on it." I like that. Bus leaves town. I got on the bus. Joy got on the bus. We got on the bus. Leaves town every day. Takes courage to get on that. And then it's your life. Everybody blames injuries. Tell me how the playoffs are different today with injuries. Well, I mean, Giannis got hurt. The Bucks had scored 38 points at half when Giannis was healthy. Well, Colin, the Suns, well, they were the number two seed in the West. They played together, so they have this great chemistry. Well, isn't that a surprise there? Well, what about the Clippers? Kawhi Leonard's injury. Well, time out. Kawhi Leonard's in and out of the lineup for everybody he plays for. And by the way, even when Kawhi played and Paul George played this year, what were they bad at? The end of games. This is who the Clippers are. They fall behind. They're inconsistent. Kawhi is hurt. Well, what about the Utah Jazz in the West? Number one seed. So what? Number one seed doesn't mean you're the best team. Donovan Mitchell was hurt and still played. He was still their best player. And oh, by the way, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, last two All-Stars picked. Meaning, of all the All-Stars, they're lower-end All-Stars in the eyes of All-Stars. Plus, they can't defend the wing. Good God, Terrence Mann ate them alive. Joy and I have been saying this for years. They can't defend the wing. So they'll never beat the LeBrons or the Paul George or the Kawhis. We knew that with Utah. That just, they can't defend the wing. And in the West, you can't defend the wing. You're done. You're not going to win the conference championship. Well, what about the Lakers? Well, what about them? Anthony Davis came into the season out of shape. He tried to play his way into shape. And he got hurt, which, you know, it's Anthony Davis. He's always hurt. Are you going to tell me that's a condensed season? He's the one that was out of shape. Not everybody came in out of shape. AD did. And LeBron's getting old. He gets hurt more. The West is what the West should be. The Suns, a team that played, all their best players played almost all the games. That's why their chemistry is so great. That's why they're so great late in games. And the Clippers, well, they're in the conference finals, with or without Kawhi. And he's always missing. Well, let's go to the East now. Oh, I forgot Denver. Jamal Murray's injury. All right, it's an injury. They were swept by Phoenix. You're going to tell me if they had Jamal Murray, they would have won? They couldn't win a game without Jamal Murray. Since when has Denver roared into the finals in any year? So let's go to the East. Well, Joel Embiid got hurt. No, the Sixers were exactly what they've been for 3 years. Simmons can't shoot. They're not good at the end of games because of that. And Embiid has some partial injury. That's their story for the last 4 years. All right, what about the Celtics? Jaylen Brown's injury. They were a 7 seed all year long. All year long, they were inconsistent. I mean, there was topics on this show regularly. Is Brad Stevens going to get fired? And that was a topic all year. What about the Knicks? They didn't have any injuries. What about the Heat? They weren't that good. That's not an injury thing. That's a not that good thing. The number one team in the playoffs that has the condensed schedule, injuries are really the key, is Brooklyn. Oh, wait, Kyrie and Kevin Durant's legacies are, they're hurt a lot. So you're going to blame that on the condensed schedule. Well, what about James Harden? Okay, I'm going to be nice here, but he came into the season fat because he wanted out of Houston. He didn't work out. And so he came into the season not ready to perform and, like AD, had to play himself into shape. And that's just that's hard. And so for the first time in his career, he usually comes into seasons in great shape. He came in completely out of shape. You went to Twitter. You saw the images, and he tried to play himself into shape. Good luck playing yourself into shape in the NBA. That would be like not training for a marathon, running it, and then pulling a hamstring in mile 19 and going, it's the marathon's fault. Got to train for that puppy. So tell me all the injuries that are changing things. The Suns, the Clippers, and the Bucks. There's no surprise here. Brooklyn, Harden tried to play himself into shape. Lakers, AD tried to play himself into shape. Everybody looks at Atlanta and goes, well, I mean, let's be honest. Without injuries, Atlanta wouldn't be here. But let's be honest about Atlanta. The minute Nate McMillan took that job, they went 27-11 in the regular season. They were good. And then they got to face the Knicks in the first round. Well, according to the odds makers, they were favored. And then they faced the Sixers in the next round. That wasn't injuries. The Sixers led those games late. What determined the outcome of those games was Ben Simmons couldn't hit a free throw. They couldn't have him on the floor. The Sixers had that series won. They couldn't hit free throws. That's not about injuries. It's about you couldn't have your point guard on the floor. Ben Simmons would not shoot in the second half. That's not about injuries. Stop using excuses. Stop being a victim. Everybody's where they should be. By the way, we've had enough injuries to stars. You could make the argument the playing field's even. Everybody's got somebody hurt, except Phoenix. The bus leaves town every day. At 45, stop blaming mom and dad, the government, your boss. You're where you should be, just like all these NBA teams. So I like Paul George. I ran into him once, and he was very complimentary of this show. Of course, it is rather good. Anyway, he was saying this week, Paul George was, that he is the most criticized star in the NBA, and he does get a lot of criticism. I don't think there's any question about that, and Charles Barkley did not want to hear it.
These dudes, man.
What? What do you mean?
Every great player gets criticized.
Yes.
I don't hear that bull.
Crap.
Every great player. I have gotten criticized because I didn't win a championship. Michael Jordan, before he won the championship, yeah, he can't win. Shaq, Kobe, everybody's gotten criticized. This false narrative. I'm hearing these jackasses on television talking about somebody gets scrutinized more than other people. Give me a freaking break. Paul George is a terrific player. But that goes with being a terrific player. And these other guys talking about he gets treated unfairly. Give me a freaking break.
Well, he's not wrong. Criticism is actually a badge of honor. In my business, criticism equals popular. You have to watch somebody to criticize them. I mean, Jeremy Grant's a good player. He plays for the awful Pistons. He could use some criticism. Nobody knows who he is. Does he have a shoe deal? Jeremy Grant needs me to talk about him, Skip to talk about him, Joy to talk about him for like 4 weeks. He'd probably get a shoe deal. The difference today with criticism, of course, it comes from so many different angles. It used to be you had a roof and there'd be a little leak and you could just plug the leak. It was the local columnist. Sam Smith in Chicago would criticize Jordan. And Jordan would be like, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. And he'd plug the leak. Now the roof has like 38 leaks. You stop one, there's another one. There's Twitter criticism. There's Instagram criticism. There's Snapchat criticism. There's cable TV guys like me talking or Joy talking criticism. There's the local columnist and the beat reporter criticism. There's sports talk radio. Michael Jordan wasn't really in an era of sports talk radio, so fans are ripping you and you hear it driving to the arena. That's the difference. The roof has a lot more leaks now, and you just can't plug them up. So, yeah, it comes from a lot of different angles. Now, of course, There is resolution to this. Put the phone down and read. But there was a man, I didn't know him personally. He was a poet, a playwright in London. His name was Oscar Wilde. And he was very good with words. And Oscar Wilde used to have a saying, "The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about." Paul George has commercials and shoe deals and all that stuff, and he's making money on social and all that stuff, and that's because he's relevant. Criticism is relevance. You watch these NBA playoff games, Chris Paul's on every third commercial. Chris Paul's been dogged by everybody for 7 years. You've been hammering Chris Paul nonstop for years. He's on every commercial. It's a badge of honor. If you're getting talked, Jeremy Grant's not getting talked about. He's a good player. Paul's a really good player. He's talked about all the time. You're going to notice the guys getting talked about in this league have shoe deals or huge social media followings. Look up Oscar Wilde. He had it right. In London, years ago, the poet had it right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I saw this story. You know, D. Wade now is part owner of the Utah Jazz. Kind of a smart move by the organization. Let's let D. Wade come in here because, you know, there's always been this theory that, you know, a lot of stars don't like to play in Utah, and I've always kind of rolled my eyes at it. Utah's like Gonzaga basketball. They've been good forever, and they've been damn close to winning. If there's no Michael Jordan, the Utah Jazz have two championships. They gave Jordan fits. I watched those series. You watched those series. Michael had some of his worst playoff games against Utah. Those games were wars. Those were battles. Without Michael, you got two of them. Don't kid yourself. Here's the other thing. Karl Malone liked playing there. Stockton did. Clarkson does. Donovan appears to. T. Bailey did. Brian Russell did. Jerry Sloan liked coaching there. So is Quinn Snyder. Coaching matters. Coaches like coaching there. Players matter. Their stars like playing there. So when I hear like Donovan Mitchell may not be happy there, that's a rumor, I think, with timeout. Don't tell me people don't like playing in Utah. You know where players don't like playing? Cleveland. LeBron is from there and is like, get me out of here twice. Washington, D.C. When's the last time the Wizards were relevant? The 70s? I watched those series against the Sonics and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and Phil Chenier. I mean, like, where are all the players going to Washington? How about New York? One playoff series win since 2000. I keep hearing about all these guys that want to play in New York. Where are they? Julius Randle's a big get. All right. Here's something to remember. Now, in pro sports, the way pro sports are built, they're trying to create, except baseball with no salary cap, but NBA, NHL, NFL, they have salary caps. They're trying to keep it even. If you're good, you draft last in the first round, right? College sports are different. The better you are, the more you dominate recruiting. So college is built for dynasties, built for big brands. There's no salary cap there, right? So just think of how hard it is to win. And Utah's been this close twice. No MJ, they got two titles. This close. So think in college sports how good Kansas basketball is. The guy who invented basketball is from Kansas. So they had a little head start on everybody else. He invented it, James Naismith. They had Wilt. They have nothing but four and five-star athletes. They have one of the best coaches, Bill Self, in college basketball. Before him, Roy Williams. Those are two of the top five coaches last 20 years. Arguably, right? 30 years, one title. One, Kansas. They invented the sport. One, Texas football. When you think Texas, I think football. Texas has an unbelievable brand. You ever fly into Dallas and you get to 10,000 feet, down to 5,000 feet, and you're getting ready to go into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport You ever do that at night and you see the high school football stadiums, 8 of them, they're all like 30,000 people? It's like no other state's like that. The state school in Texas. Texas football. 40 years. One title. And it was like a last play of the game thing with USC. They came this close to losing it at the Rose Bowl. Kansas. Basketball. Texas football. Two titles, 70 years combined. One sport invented their sport. The other one feels like they did. And that's college sports, where dynasties happen. Utah's well-run, exceptionally well-run. For years, it was exceptionally well-owned. Great coaches, great scouting, great players. I want to hear about, nobody really wants to play in Utah. Nobody wants to play in Cleveland. LeBron asked Chris Bosh, would you come here? Bosh is like, I'm not coming. Can you imagine that, LeBron in his prime? You pick the phone up, you're Chris Bosh. You're playing in Canada. Ring, hello, it's Chris Bosh. Hi, it's LeBron James, the world's greatest basketball player. Would you like to come play with me? Love to. Where? Cleveland. Click. Nobody wants to play in Cleveland. I want to hear about Utah. The coaches like it. Their stars like it. By the way, I kept hearing Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell don't get along. I don't know. They were number one seed. Seemed to get along fine to me. Donovan Mitchell's fine. Utah's fine. They're Gonzaga. You can't be that well-run for 100 years or however long Gonzaga's been well-run in Utah. They'll break through. But it's sort of like when Michael ran the league. You know, Houston didn't do anything until Michael played baseball for a couple years. Then Houston did stuff. If you're well-run, if you're smart in life, if you make good decisions, you'll break through. Just be patient. It's all masonry, man. Just lay the bricks one after one. You'll break through.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Dak Prescott was talking yesterday. He had an interview in Dallas, and he was laying out the reasons he thought they would be a more complementary football team. And the quote he said was, "This is going to be a very, very special year for us. We're very excited. Put everything we've worked hard together, all stages, all phases. Going to be a very, very special year for us and the Cowboy fans." Now, just for the record, Dallas's over-under is 9.5, and the under is favored -125 to -105. So the sharps, as they call them in Vegas, think Dallas is going to win 9 games, not 10. That is in the worst division in football. So let's just start there. But now, I've never had a problem talking about the Dallas Cowboys, even when they're not great, because they're a massive brand and they're usually entertaining. From Jerry Jones down, they're entertaining. And we all know in the business we're in, big brands sell, right? There's a reason guys like me talk football over hockey, just the reality of it. But we also have to be honest about it, that Dallas, and it's their fault, has fundamentally eliminated themselves from the Super Bowl. Because the one thing you can't do in any salary cap sport, they do a lot. They pay great money to good players. That is the killer. That is the championship popper. That is the season ender in every salary cap sport. Great money to good players. Let me give you an example. Kansas City is a Super Bowl contender. Let's look at their 6 biggest contracts. Patrick Mahomes, A+. Frank Clark, B. Joe Tooney, A. One of the best guards in football. Chris Jones, A. Travis Kelce, A+. Tyreek Hill, A. Okay, 5 of 6, A. Let's look at the Seattle Seahawks. They're in Super Bowl contention. Russell Wilson, biggest contract, A+. Tyler Lockett, solid B, B+. Bobby Wagner, A+. Dwayne Brown, A. Jamal Adams, A. Gabe Jackson's a B. Never made a Pro Bowl, but he was a, he'll be a massive upgrade for them, so he's a good B. 4 out of 6 are A's. Look at the Cowboys. 6 biggest contracts. Dak Prescott, kind of a B plus. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's a B. Amari Cooper, good B plus. Tyron Smith was an A plus. Now he's just a question mark. Zeke was an A plus. Now he's more a B to a B plus. He's declined every year. Zach Martin was an A plus. A minus, B plus. A lot of questions. Getting older. You cannot win Super Bowls in salary cap football world we live in paying great money to good players. In fact, even if I made Dak an A minus and I don't classify him as that, it still leaves you with way too many questions and not enough answers and way too many B's and not enough A's. And so, I mean, there's a reason for the last like 26 years that at the end of seasons, we always have the same opinion on Dallas. Okay, they're kind of good. They're kind of entertaining, kind of fun. But they don't end well. They did it to themselves. This isn't bad luck. For whatever reasons, they tend to pay early. They're the opposite of the Patriots. The Patriots pay big money rarely, and they wait to the last second. Dallas tends to pay big money often, and they often pay it early. And that's the reality of it. So Dallas can be entertaining, but the sharps in Vegas have them at 9.5, and they're betting the under. And that's in the worst division in football. So you just can't do that. You look at the Niners, you look at all the Super Bowl teams. They pay great money rarely to their great players. Kansas City, Frank Clark's more of a B, but they needed him. Seattle paid money to Gabe Jackson, but they desperately needed him. It's not like the Cowboys needed another linebacker, right? Like, so you put yourself in that spot.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Quentin Richardson is a co-host of a podcast very popular with Darius Miles called Knuckleheads. He played in the NBA for 13 years, was a three-point champ, a former director of player development for the Detroit Pistons for several years. So the guy knows talent, keeps his game and his name around basketball, and he is now joining us live. First of all, Quentin, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking time. You're a busy dude. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. So let me talk about Atlanta. Atlanta is the one team in the playoffs. You know, they kind of surprise people. And people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But they are a young team. Nate McMillan took the job over. Well, they were 27-11 in the regular season when Nate took it over. And I know Nate. I grew up in Seattle. I'm old enough to remember him at North Carolina State. He's a very good defensive coach. So I don't look at Atlanta as a crazy story. I look at them as, well, they opened with the Knicks who can't shoot. And then Philadelphia had leads and couldn't hold them. I don't think Atlanta, when you add context, is shocking. Do you look at their roster as a former guy of player development and think, how the heck are they here?
No, I don't look and say, how are they here? I mean, I agree with you. Nate McMillan, once he took over this team, he fully put his personality and put his impact on this team, and they became a much better defensive team. And I the biggest impact I think he had was on Trae Young and the way that he taught him how to get his other players involved and how he could get his shots off at any point in the game. And I think we saw a change in his shot attempt and just the type of shots he started to take, and he became a better player before.
I want to do a totally separate. I want to talk more Clippers Suns here because I do believe that's the finals. That looks like the final. We've seen this in baseball, Quentin, where the Yankees and Red Sox years ago played in the American League Championship Series, and you're like, those are the two best teams. The World Series doesn't matter. They'll both win the World Series. Years ago, I covered the Blazers-Lakers, the Kobe-Shaq Lakers. They went 7 games, Scottie Pippen, Arvidas, and I felt that was the finals. Indiana-Rick Smiths, I didn't think matched up with either team. So I look at the Suns and Clippers, Quentin, and I think that feels like the finals to me. I thought the Suns were really tight. And in your and they're young. This is Quentin, this is the biggest game for everybody on that roster except Jay Crowder. Have you ever been on a team that was really good, but really young, and they faced old dudes in a big game, and they shrink? Because that's what it looked like happened to me for Phoenix.
To answer your question, no. When I was on a young team, we were so young and just, I guess you would say, inexperienced. We didn't even know any better. We were running up and trying to get scrappy with everybody, but we weren't that good. We weren't in this scenario that Phoenix is in a Western Conference final scenario with a chance to go to the championship. And I think it's kind of imposing, but at the same time, I think even though Chris Paul has never been there, he's as good as it gets when it comes to guys who haven't been to the promised land and been to that championship. With all of his experience and everything that he brings to the table, I think his impact, and he has to really put his imprint on this game and make this a career type moment game for him to close this out, because I really fear for them if we had to go to a game seven.
Yeah, let's talk about the Clippers. You know them well. You were drafted by the Clippers out of DePaul in Chicago, and you had a nice career with them. It's an interesting franchise. It's a weird franchise. There's some pressure on them, too. This is the biggest moment. You know, the next two games are the biggest Clipper games in the history of the franchise, and there's no Kawhi Leonard. As a former NBA guy, do you trust Paul George in these spots? Is our criticism unfair to Paul? Do you trust him the next two nights or next two games?
The criticism, I believe, is a little bit unfair. I mean, I think when you're a superstar and you're in the position he's in, he's being a max contract guy. He's a superstar, all-star in this league. He's playing in Los Angeles, California, in one of the biggest markets. I think this is par for the course, some of the criticism that he gets. But I do think the some of the stuff goes too far. The pandemic P or whatever. I mean, listen, this is one of the most talented players in our game today. Top, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's for different opinions. But I mean, he's a superstar. He was an all-star this year. I mean, I don't think that he deserves some of the little jabs and stuff. I mean, if he doesn't play well, that's fine. We can report that he didn't play well, and that's the truth, and we can talk about that. But I would fall short of trying to call him names and do all of this other stuff that kind of goes on. I don't think he deserves that. And I do feel this obviously are the biggest two games in the Clippers history in these next couple of nights. And I absolutely trust him. Look what he's done since Kawhi has went down. He's averaged 30 plus, and he's been a unquestioned leader of this team. So, I mean, I absolutely trust PG.
Everybody's saying Adam Silver made a mistake and he rushed the season back. Now, Adam Silver is saying, listen, we had a pandemic. If we didn't play 70 games, the owners would have too much power over the players, and I didn't want to put my players in that situation. Because Adam Silver has to balance the players and the owner. The owners are his boss. And so, like, to me, I was locked on last night on social media, Adam Silver's getting crushed. And my thing is, well, some of these injuries could be condensed, but Anthony Davis, Kyrie, those guys get hurt a lot. Like, as a former player, would you have been upset with a very short off season, or would you have understood? Sometimes it's not perfect if you want to maintain some power against the guys who own all the teams.
I think it goes a little both ways. If I'm a player, you know, you have to understand. You have to understand. You have to do a little bit of both. You absolutely would be upset at the shortened time for you to recover or rehab, and you know, just to have your break from playing ball. You would be upset a little bit about that. But when they bring in the business decisions that had to be made for both sides, for the players, the owners, and everybody involved, for people like you and me that talk about the NBA. That part of it, I think, is the part that people are overlooking, that the players had to agree with the owners and Adam Silver on the season and on the structure of the season, when it would start and all of that. Otherwise, everyone would have lost out on money there. So I think that's the part that kind of gets thrown to the wayside, that, hey, that the players also had to agree with this and to make sure that the money was going to be where it was going to be, because if they didn't do it when it had to be done, it was going to be a significant hit to the money. And I think all of the players agreed that it was the best thing to do was to move forward, even though it was going to be some injuries and stuff. But I mean, the Kyrie Irving injury, landing on somebody's foot, you can't change that. I don't care if it was a compacted series, the season or whatever. The thing with Giannis landing and hyperextending his knee, that could happen in a regular season with 82 games with all the rest in the world. Some of these injuries are going to happen. It's sports. It's basketball. Now, I don't know as far as the, you know, the Harden, the Groen, or the AD, but like you said, these guys have suffered injuries throughout their careers. It's not like this was the first time. So it's just it's a tough thing to kind of really be accurate about, because you don't know.
You know, Quentin, it's interesting. You eventually left the Clippers, and one of the places I've always defended players, where when I got out of college, I could kind of select where I wanted to work. You guys get drafted by teams, and you had a lousy owner and a dysfunctional – you were a great player for a dysfunctional team. In a way, you're kind of trapped. But you were in a big market, and people knew who you were, and you eventually made a lot of money. Damian Lillard has a well-owned team, well-run team. But geographically, they can't get a second star. In a weird way, he's kind of trapped. So in different areas, you just had dysfunction. He didn't have dysfunction, but Dame's one of the great players in the league, and he's sitting there thinking, man, I need more dudes. If you were Dame today, if you were his agent, you know he's going to have a big market, Quentin. He's like everybody wanted him, except maybe the Warriors. What would you tell him as his agent? Be loyal, stay there, trust the process there, or move on and go with a star? You're his agent right now. What do you tell him?
Me, knowing what I know and being a former player, man, as his agent or whoever, his friend and his confidant, I would say do what you think is going to make you happy. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what his fans want him to do. It doesn't matter what anybody wants him to do, because at the end of the day, I know as being a former player, once whatever decision he makes, if he chooses to leave, if he chooses to go, if he chooses to stay in Portland, whatever decision he makes, Damian Lillard is the one who has to walk that walk. And for me, being a player, I never wanted to make decisions based on what somebody else told me to do, because I knew that I had to live with it. I had to go to sleep at night when nobody else is there. I got to lay my head down on the pillow and live with that decision I made. So for me, I just tell Dame whatever is in his heart, whatever he wants to do, and whatever he knows and believes is going to make him happy, that's what he should do, regardless of what anybody else thinks.
You know, Quentin, I have a saying I tell my family all the time: don't try to get happier than happy. There's no perfect life for anybody, right?
I like that.
Yeah, if you're happy, you won, right? And yep. I'm looking at your career: Clippers, Knicks, Suns, Heat, Magic. Any of those spots where you were completely happy? Or in all of them, was there something that drove you nuts?
I would say I was happy in every scenario, but I would say absolutely if somebody forced me to, I could pick something that I didn't like. I that's why I love that statement you just said. I think that's absolutely true. Nothing is going to ever be perfect, but you know, you would be surprised sometimes when you go looking on the other side of the fence thinking the grass is greener, and it's really not. So I mean, Dame, like you said, Dame has a great, great scenario. The only thing he hasn't been able to do is actually win big as far as a team situation and win a championship. And that's not totally out of reach. I think they can do things to kind of retool there. But at the end of the day, like you say, I can't think that Dame is unhappy in life. He has a lot of great things to be happy about. I mean, he hasn't won a championship and he hasn't gone as deep as he want to go. But I mean, in life, he's extremely a huge winner from my perspective.
By the way, Quentin, I want to go old school. The Clippers are well run now, but when you played there, it was bad. I mean, it was bad. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be real here. It was bad, right? It was dysfunctional. You got to give me at least one story, because you had the Lakers, who, you know, like, they take their team to Hawaii for training camp, and they got the and you were a Clip. Did you ever think to yourself, damn, man, there's a moment that you knew, can't we do anything right?
I'll tell you maybe the first time, because you got to put things in perspective. Like, right, when we first get to the Clippers, Darius is 18, I'm 19, Keon's 19, Corey's 20, LO's 20. It's like we the young kids, so we fresh out of college and everything. So, you know, I think, you know, Duke and Missouri had great facilities in college, but DePaul, you know, now they do. But when I was there, it wasn't that great. So when I looked at it, it was like we were at Southwest Junior College. This is in South Central LA. Like, this is proverbially like the hood. Now, we from the hood. We don't, you know, we cool with it. But it was like, I think the first time it really hit us was when we went on the road and we practiced in the Dallas Mavericks practice facility. And we was looking around like, yo, like they got locked. They got they like literally it, like I tell no lies when I say we couldn't take a shower at our practice facility at Southwest Junior College. It was like the old, like the super old 80s type movies where they got the big joint in the middle of the shower and it's got the little spouts to go all the way around the circle. And none of the spouts worked. Some of them busted off and it would just be like literally. We would get out of practice from whatever, whether it's training camp, practice, going hard. We would put towels over our seats. You know, you got some decent cars now. We putting towels over our seats, driving home, and then taking showers when we get home. So we didn't realize that till we went on the road and really got this practice in somebody else's facility. We was like, this is crazy. Like, we really had. And it was love, though. I mean, you know, you couldn't tell us that we weren't, you know, we didn't know any better. So we would get out of practice and have to drive through the little JUCO campus and all of the kids be like, yo, hitting on the hood, looking at you like, what's up? And it's like, this is what we was doing every day at practice, literally.
That's a great story. That is unbelievable. My high school, actually, all the little water shooters worked at my high school. They didn't work for Quentin Richardson.
No, they did not. Absolutely not.
All right. He does a podcast, Knuckleheads, Players Tribune with Darius Miles, season 6. You got some all-stars coming on that. Who's coming on that podcast?
Man, absolutely. We already kicked it off with Ray Allen. We've had Donovan Mitchell so far this season, LJ, Larry Johnson, and right now we just dropped Jamal Mashburn yesterday. But it's plenty more coming, man. We got some good surprises in store.
Good stuff. Jamal's had a heck of a post-basketball career, too. Jamal's really a successful businessman.
We get all into that because people don't really know. He's somebody they haven't really talked a lot about.
I'll tell you what, that was fun, Quentin. I love Quentin Richardson stories. That was my favorite story on this show in a month. I appreciate you stopping by.
No problem. Anytime.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Pro Football Focus came out, and they put out a top 10 quarterback list. I've been watching football since 1972. That was the first year I watched football that I remember. Miami Dolphins beat Washington in the Super Bowl. George Allen against Don Shula, all that stuff. The way the NFL has always worked for quarterbacks, there's been 5 guys running the league, maybe 1 or 2 other guys worth mentioning. Everybody else is looking to upgrade, and they just don't want to tell you. So Pro Football Focus came out with their top 10. And once again, in 2021, that's what it is. The top 5 guys Pro Football Focus has: Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, Josh Allen. Then they got Dak 6, Kirk Cousins 8, give me a break, Baker 9, Lamar Jackson. Nope. The top 5, there's a couple other guys worth mentioning: Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. Everybody else, if they could, would upgrade. It's been that way my whole life. You go back to the 70s. I watched it. It was the first decade I watched football. Bradshaw, Stabler, Staubach ran the league. Then Greasy was part of a great, he wasn't as dynamic, but part of a great team. And then Fran Tarkenton ran around for years. Those 5 guys, those Minnesota teams didn't win Super Bowls. They were in the conversation every year. The Purple People Eaters defensive line, Chuck Foreman, the running back, Ahmad Rashad, the wide receiver. They were in the discussion for a decade. The 70s, there were 5 guys. There were 1 or 2 other worth mentioning. Everybody else was looking for a better quarterback. Then you go to the 80s. And the 80s, it was Montana, Fouts, a young Elway, a young Marino, and Joe Theismann, like Greasy, was part of a great staff and a great team, wasn't asked to do as much, but those guys ran the league. Fouts was part of the number 1 passing offense. Montana was winning the Super Bowls. Elway and Marino were turning heads. Theismann, part of the greatest structure. And then you go to the 90s. It's the same thing. It was Aikman, Favre, Elway, Kelly ran the league. And at the end, here came Steve Young to replace Montana. He emerged as this crafty Russell Wilson-y left-handed runaround guy. But it was Aikman, Favre, and Elway, and Kelly felt like they were running the league. At that point now, Marino was too old and not as effective. And you go to the 2000 to 2010. It was Peyton and Tom in their prime, Drew Brees in his prime, Brett Favre leaving his prime, and Kurt Warner was emerging. It wasn't Big Ben. They were winning with defense. Warner was part of these wild offenses, and he was emerging as a guy that, ooh, he was bagging groceries. He was in, like, the Arena League, and Warner put up profound numbers. And you go 2000 to 2010. It was Brady getting old but still winning, Russell, Aaron, Breeze getting old, still winning, and Peyton Manning. By the way, say what you want about old Peyton Manning. He just kept figuring out ways to win his division, win the AFC, and get to Super Bowls. And right now, what do you know? It's the same thing right now. You got an old Tom Brady clinging to it like an old Peyton. He just knows how to win. And then you got your four other guys, your Mahomes, your Josh Allen, your Aaron Rodgers, your Russell Wilson. It's been like that my whole life. You got five guys running the league, two other worthy of discussing. But Lamar can't win those playoff games he should. Deshaun's not winning enough playoff games. Everybody else is looking to upgrade. Pro Football Focus has Kirk Cousins at 8. They tried to upgrade from him. They tried to already. He's got Matt Ryan in there. They were going to draft a quarterback. Baker Mayfield? Why isn't he getting a big contract? So that's the truth about this league. GMs don't want to know that. They don't want to tell you that. GMs don't want to tell you that. Coaches don't want to tell you that. Right now, San Francisco, you know, they went and upgraded. I mean, they got a guy that got to the Super Bowl. They're moving. It could be different reasons. You're too expensive. You're too difficult. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers is great. They already got a guy they're trying to get groomed. So this league has always been run by about, it's five quarterbacks. Two are interesting. Everybody else would take a phone call. Every single team would take a phone call. And sometimes those five guys that run it, by the end of the decade, like the teams are starting to take calls. They're not ready to move off them yet, but they're taking calls. I mean, with Drew Brees, they brought in Jameis because they're like, he's getting old, so we got to have a plan. So, but there's always the people start ranking top 10, top 15, top 20 quarterbacks is, folks, 90% of the people are taking calls. If you got a call, they'll listen. It's just the reality of it. We make too much. My guy's rated 8. My Kirk Cousins is rated 8. Minnesota already tried to move off him. I mean, Derek Carr and the Raiders, you think that's a death till we part? I mean, you think that's lasting forever? Come on. If they don't make the playoffs again, that thing's not going to work.